Chapter 14. Poor woman had taken a ball. She was so weak she could not carry it at once in, though the weight was not much neither. So she left the biscuit, which was in a little bag, and left a little boy, to watch it till she came again. Well, but, says I to him, did you leave her the 4 shillings too, which you said was your week's pay? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, yes, apostrophe, says he. You shall hear her own it. Apostrophe, so he calls again, Rachel, Rachel, apostrophe, which it seems was her name, did you take up the money? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, apostrophe, said she. How much was it? Said he. 4 shillings and a groat, apostrophe, said she. Well, well, apostrophe, says he, the Lord keep you all, and so he turned to go away. As I could not refrain contributing tears to this man's story, so neither could I refrain my charity for his assistance. So I called him, Harkee, friend, apostrophe, said I, come hither, for I believe thou art in health, that I may venture thee. So I pulled out my hand, which was in my pocket before, here, apostrophe, says I, go and call thy Rachel once more, and give her a little more comfort from me. God will never forsake a family that trust in him as thou dost. Apostrophe, so I gave him 4 other shillings, and bid him go lay them on the stone and call his wife. I have not words to express the poor man's thankfulness, neither could he express it himself, but by tears running down his face. He called his wife, and told her God had moved the heart of a stranger, upon hearing their condition, to give them all that money, and a great deal more, such as that he said to her. The woman, too, made signs of the like thankfulness, as well to heaven as to me, and joyfully picked it up, and I parted with no money all that year, that I thought better bestowed. I then asked the poor man, if the distemper had not reached to Greenwich. He said it had not till about a fortnight before, but that then he feared it had, but that it was only at that end of the town which lay south towards Deptford Bridge, that he went only to a butcher's shop and a grocer's, where he generally bought such things as they sent him for, but was very careful. I asked him then, how it came to pass, that those people who had so shut themselves up in the ships had not laid in sufficient stores of all things necessary. He said some of them had, but, on the other hand, some did not come on board till they were frighted into it, and till it was too dangerous for them to go to the proper people, to lay in quantities of things, and that he waited on 2 ships, which he showed me, that had laid in little, or nothing but biscuit bread and ship beer, and that he had bought everything else almost for them. I asked him, if there was any more ships, that had separated themselves as those had done. He told me yes, all the way up from the point, right against Greenwich, to within the shore of Limehouse and Redriff, all the ships, that could have room rid 2 and 2 in the middle of the stream, and that some of them had several families on board. I asked him, if the distemper had not reached them. He said he believed it had not, except 2 or 3 ships whose people had not been so watchful, to keep the seamen from going on shore as others had been, and he said it was a very fine sight, to see how the ships lay up the pool. When he said he was going over to Greenwich, as soon as the tide began to come in, I asked if he would let me go with him, and bring me back, for that I had a great mind, to see how the ships were ranged, as he had told me. He told me, if I would assure him on the word of a Christian, and of an honest man, that I had not the distemper, he would. I assured him, that I had not, that it had pleased God to preserve me, that I lived in Whitechapel, but was too impatient of being so long within doors, and that I had ventured out, so far for the refreshment of a little air, but that none in my house had, so much as been touched with it. Well, sir, apostrophe, says he, as your charity has been moved to pity me, and my poor family, sure you cannot have so little pity left, as to put yourself into my boat, if you were not sound in health, which would be nothing less than killing me, and ruining my whole family. Apostrophe The poor man troubled me so much when he spoke of his family with such a sensible concern and in such an affectionate manner, that I could not satisfy myself at first to go at all. I told him I would lay aside my curiosity, rather than make him uneasy, though I was sure, and very thankful for it, that I had no more distemper upon me than the freshest man in the world. Well, he would not have me put it off neither, but to let me see how confident he was that I was just to him, now importuned me to go. So when the tide came up to his boat I went in, and he carried me to Greenwich. While he bought the things which he had in his charge to buy, I walked up to the top of the hill under which the town stands, and on the east side of the town, to get a prospect of the river. But it was a surprising sight to see the number of ships which lay in rows, two and two, and some places two or three such lines in the breadth of the river, and this not only up quite to the town, between the houses which we call Ratcliffe and Redriff, which they name the pool, but even down the whole river as far as the head of Long Reach, which is as far as the hills give us leave to see it. I cannot guess at the number of ships, but I think there must be several hundreds of sail, and I could not but applaud the contrivance. For 10,000 people and more who attended ship affairs were certainly sheltered here from the violence of the contagion, and lived very safe and very easy. I returned to my own dwelling very well satisfied with my day's journey, and particularly with the poor man. Also I rejoiced to see that such little sanctuaries were provided for so many families in a time of such desolation. I observed also that, as the violence of the plague had increased, so the ships which had families on board removed, and went farther off, till, as I was told, some went quite away to sea, and put into such harbors, and safe roads on the north coast as they could best come at. But it was also true, that all the people who thus left the land, and lived on board the ships were not entirely safe from the infection. For many died, and were thrown overboard into the river, some in coffins, and some, as I heard, without coffins, whose bodies were seen sometimes, to drive up and down with the tide in the river. But I believe I may venture to say that in those ships which were thus infected it either happened, where the people had recourse to them too late, and did not fly to the ship till they had stayed too long on shore, and had the distemper upon them, though perhaps they might not perceive it, and so the distemper did not come to them on board the ships, but they really carried it with them. Or it was in these ships, where the poor watermen said they had not had time to furnish themselves with provisions, but were obliged to send often on shore, to buy what they had occasion for, or suffered boats to come to them from the shore. And so the distemper was brought insensibly among them. And here I cannot but take notice, that the strange temper of the people of London at that time contributed extremely to their own destruction. The plague began, as I have observed, at the other end of the town, namely, in Long Acre, Drury Lane, and Sea, and came on towards the city very gradually and slowly. It was felt at first in December, then again in February, then again in April, and always but a very little at a time. Then it stopped till May, and even the last week in May there was but 17, and all at that end of the town. And all this while, even so long, as till there died above 3,000 a week, yet had the people in Redriff, and in Wapping and Ratcliffe, on both sides of the river, and almost all Southwark side, a mighty fancy, that they should not be visited, or at least, that it would not be so violent among them. Some people fancied the smell of the pitch and tar, and such other things as oil, and rosin and brimstone, which is so much used by all trades relating to shipping, would preserve them. Others argued it, because it was in its extremest violence in Westminster, and the parish of St. Giles and St. Andrew, and sea, and began to abate again before it came among them, which was true indeed, in part. For example, from the 8th to the 15th August, Street Giles in the Fields 242, Cripplegate 886, Stepney 197, Street Margaret, Bermondsey 24, Rotherhithe 3. Total this week 40-30, from the 15th to the 22nd August, Street Giles in the Fields 175, Cripplegate 847, Stepney 273, Street Margaret, Bermondsey 36, Rotherhithe 2. Total this week 53-19. And B, that it was observed the numbers mentioned in Stepney Parish at that time were generally all on that side, where Stepney Parish joined to Shoreditch, which we now call Spitalfields, where the parish of Stepney comes up to the very wall of Shoreditch churchyard, and the plague at this time was abated at Street Giles in the Fields, and raged most violently in Cripplegate, Bishopsgate, and Shoreditch parishes. But there was not 10 people a week that died of it in all that part of Stepney Parish which takes in Limehouse, Ratdiff Highway, and which are now the parishes of Shadwell and Wapping, even to Street Catherine's by the Tower, till after the whole month of August was expired. But they paid for it afterwards, as I shall observe by and by. This, I say, made the people of Redriff and Wapping, Ratcliffe and Limehouse, so secure, and flatter themselves, so much with the plagues going off without reaching them, that they took no care either to fly into the country, or shut themselves up. Nay, so far were they from stirring, that they rather received their friends and relations from the city into their houses, and several from other places really took sanctuary in that part of the town as a plus of safety, and as a place which they thought God would pass over, and not visit as the rest was visited. And this was the reason, that when it came upon them, they were more surprised, more unprovided, and more at a loss what to do than they were in other places. For when it came among them really and with violence, as it did indeed in September and October, there was then no stirring out into the country, nobody would suffer a stranger to come near them, no, nor near the towns where they dwelt. And, as I have been told, several that wandered into the country on Surrey side were found starved to death in the woods and commons, that country being more open, and more woody than any other part so near London, especially about Norwood and the parishes of Camberwell, Dulwich, and Lewsham, where, it seems, nobody durst relieve the poor distressed people for fear of the infection. This notion having, as I said, prevailed with the people in that part of the town, was in part the occasion, as I said before, that they had recourse to ships for their retreat, and where they did this early and with prudence, furnishing themselves so with provisions, that they had no need to go on shore for supplies or suffer boats to come on board to bring them, I say, where they did, so they had certainly the safest retreat of any people whatsoever. But the distress was such, that people ran on board, in their fright, without bread to eat, and some in two ships, that had no men on board, to remove them farther off, or to take the boat, and go down the river, to buy provisions where it might be done safely, and these often suffered, and were infected on board as much as on shore. As the richer sort got into ships, so the lower rank got into hoys, smacks, lighters, and fishing boats, and many, especially watermen, lay in their boats, but those made sad work of it, especially the latter, for, going about for provision, and perhaps to get their subsistence, the infection got in among them, and made a fearful havoc. Many of the watermen died alone in their wherries as they rid at their roads, as well as above bridge as below, and were not found sometimes till they were not in condition for anybody to touch or come near them. Indeed, the distress of the people at this seafaring end of the town was very deplorable, and deserved the greatest commiseration. But, alas, I this was a time, when everyone's private safety lay so near them, that they had no room to pity the distresses of others. For everyone had death, as it were, at his door, and many even in their families, and knew not what to do, or whither to fly. This, I say, took away all compassion. Self-preservation, indeed, appeared here to be the first law. For the children ran away from their parents as they languished in the utmost distress. And in some places, though not so frequent as the other, parents did the like to their children. Nay, some dreadful examples there were, and particularly two in 1 week, of distressed mothers, raving and distracted, killing their own children. One whereof was not far off from where I dwelt, the poor lunatic creature not living herself long enough to be sensible of the sin of what she had done, much less to be punished for it. It is not, indeed, to be wondered at. For the danger of immediate death to ourselves took away all bowels of love, all concern for one another. I speak in general, for there were many instances of immovable affection, pity, and duty in many, and some that came to my knowledge, that is to say, by hearsay, for I shall not take upon me to vouch the truth of the particulars. To introduce one, let me first mention that one of the most deplorable cases in all the present calamity was that of women with child, who, when they came to the hour of their sorrows, and their pains come upon them, could neither have help of one kind or another, neither midwife or neighboring women to come near them. Most of the midwives were dead, especially of such as served the poor, and many, if not all the midwives of note, were fled into the country, so that it was next to impossible for a poor woman, that could not pay an immoderate price to get any midwife to come to her, and if they did, those they could get, were generally unskillful and ignorant creatures. And the consequence of this was that a most unusual and incredible number of women were reduced to the utmost distress. Some were delivered and spoiled by the rashness and ignorance of those who pretended to lay them. Children without number were, I might say, murdered by the same, but a more justifiable ignorance. Pretending they would save the mother, whatever became of the child, and many times both mother and child were lost in the same manner. And especially where the mother had the distemper, there nobody would come near them, and both sometimes perished. Sometimes the mother has died of the plague, and the infant, it may be, half born, or born but not parted from the mother. Some died in the very pains of their travail, and not delivered at all, and so many were the cases of this kind, that it is hard to judge of them. Something of it will appear in the unusual numbers which are put into the weekly bills, though I am far from allowing them to be able to give anything of a full account under the articles of childbed, abortive and stillborn, Christmas and infants. Take the weeks in which the plague was most violent, and compare them with the weeks before the distemper began, even in the same year. For example, childbed, abortive, stillborn. From January 3 to January 10, 7, 1, 13, 10, 17, 8, 6, 11, 17, 24, 9, 5, 15, 24, 31, 3, 2, 9, 31, 2, February 7, 3, 3, 8, F, E, B, R, U, A, R, Y, 7, 14, 6, 2, 11, 14, 21, 5, 2, 13, 21, 28, 2, 2, 10, 28, 2, March 7, 5, 1, 10, 48, 24, 1, 100, from August 1 to August 8, 25, 5, 11, 8, 15, 23, 6, 8, 15, 22, 28, 4, 4, 22, 29, 46, 10, 29, 2. September 5, 38, 2, 11, September 5, 12, 39, 23. Dot dot 12 19 42 5 17 19 26 42 6 10 26 to October 3 14 4 9 291 61 80 Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.